a song is basically scripture, or reminds me of a good scripture, and this one definitely does that. And I'm going to read it from the Message, but this comes out of 1 John 4:18, and it reminds us of this: God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God, and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us. For that reason, there is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear.
I am a child of God. So, were you a Hymenaeus this week? I mentioned it to the small group that meets on Tuesday morning at the manor. I said, so, anybody been a Hymenaeus this week? And somebody said, be one. I don't even know how to spell it. I'm not even sure that I'm pronouncing it correctly. Do you remember that guy from last week? Hymenaeus and Andrew, who had shipwrecked their faith. Just completely, utterly destroyed their faith. And one of the things about shipwrecking your faith is you are an incredibly selfish person. You don't care about how your lack of faith or you destroying your faith impacts others. I love the story this week that I read about the dentist and his staff who were frustrated with one of the patients because they were always 15 minutes late. Always. And this guy was due for a root canal. And he always called in and said, hey, I'm running about 15 minutes late. And this time the dentist had it. He goes, 15 minutes late, not a problem. Today, though, we're just not going to have time for anesthesia. You know, it's something for you to mess up your faith. But when you begin infecting or spreading your lack of faith or your shipwrecked faith around the church, that can't happen. And Paul says to those two guys, he calls them out, throws them under the bus. You can't do that. And he hands them over to Satan. In other words, he says, you got to kick them out. If that's the way they're going to live, let them go do that. Selfishness is an unbelievably ignored characteristic in the American church. You ever watch the TV show Hoarders? Right? I'm always afraid to turn it on because I'm like, that's my garage. You know, I'm always afraid. But I turned it on the other day just because we got a new cable box. Everything is in HD. And I'm like, if you want to see someone's hoarding, it's got to be in HD. So I'm like, ooh, let's watch this. And I yell to my daughter, Danielle, your favorite show is on. And she comes storming out of her bedroom going, I have 58 minutes left in my movie. Ooh, Hoarders. And she sat and we watched the entire episode of these two people. One guy had 2,000 rats in his house. 2,000 rats in his house. And he cried when they took him away. I'm like, what? Dude, you got problems? And then this other gal who lived in her dad's house, who you could not walk through the house. There was so much stuff. And we kept saying one thing over and over and over again about this gal. She's selfish. She was living in someone else's house and didn't care how it impacted anyone else. And even when people tried to come and say, you can't live this way, it didn't matter. It's her life. She's going to live it the way she wants. And that does not work in church. And Paul tells the church in Ephesus, you can't do that. Now, today, Paul begins to shift a little bit. We finally made it to chapter 2 after a month and a half. Finally. But, oh, it's going to be fun today. Speaking of selfishness, I'm preaching on something I rarely ever preach about. The president. Woohoo! I guarantee you, there's a lot of churches that love to talk about the president either for or against. And I'm telling you right now, we're in a room full of very selfish opinions about our elected officials. And we got to be careful with it. And Paul says, your attitudes in the church, your selfish attitudes toward those who are in government and authority over you are ruining the church. And I think it's true for us today. And I know what you're thinking. Some of you are going, oh yeah, if anybody's a shipwrecker, that's the president, right? Because it doesn't matter who's in office, somebody always feels that way. So let's figure out what to do with him. Open up your Bibles. Open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, finally. Can I tell you that back in the 90s, I always thought to myself, if I were ever a preacher, I'd preach about the president all the time. Well, I don't. So I've learned a lot over the years. But here's what we have to do to combat this notion of selfishness. Believe it or not, that's not one of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. The first thing that Paul says we have to do to combat selfishness is to care about godliness. All right, verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. What was the last thing he said we should do in our prayers? Thanksgiving for all people. And then he throws somebody under the bus. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness. Godliness overcomes selfishness. Last week I said we need t-shirts that say, "Don't be a Hymenaeus," just to get people to ask us, what is that word? You know, so that we can explain it. Maybe we need shirts that say, Jennings Road Church of Christ. We're full of it, meaning godliness, right? They would understand that. Are you living in such a way that you look like Jesus? You sound like him? You act like him? You think like him? Godliness. And Paul says, are you praying in such a way that it shows your selfishness or it shows your godliness? By the way, do you remember when Jesus said to overthrow the government? Do you remember that? When he said to pray against Caesar? Do you guys remember that? Not at all. Not one time did he mention overthrowing our government or praying against Caesar. Paul is writing, do you know who's in charge of the government at this time? A guy by the name of Nero. Have you ever heard of him? Evil. The guy burns things to the ground. He burns Rome to the ground. He is an evil man. Now, this one's hard for me because Paul says that the result of our prayers for those over us in authority is that we'll live peaceful and quiet lives. Anybody got that? Anybody got a peaceful and quiet life? My neighbor won't let me live a quiet life. Man, he throws good parties though. Peaceful and quiet lives. Listen, we live in a nation that is built on revolution. We live in a nation that overthrew the government that was lording over us. And we built our laws around that notion. And I see Paul saying, listen, just pray for him. Be thankful for him. I don't know if I can do that. You have Twitter, that Twitter thing on your phone? That's annoying. I need to get rid of it. Because every time I see someone in government tweet something, I'm like, I don't pray for him. Now, if you look at that list of things that we're supposed to pray for, I'm with Paul at the beginning. Petitions. Oh, man, God, I need you to do this for me. Right? God, I need you to do this for me. I'm all over that. Prayers. God, listen, here's what I want to pray about today. I need you to do this. And I love that because that's selfish. That's all me. What's the next word? Intercessions. That's me praying on behalf of someone else, right? That's me going, Lord, I need you to make my wife a submissive wife. That's me praying. What? That's me praying for someone else. God, I know somebody's going through a tough time today, right? That's all. Speaking of technology, you know that our prayer chain is on Facebook, right? That alone is a good reason to be on Facebook, to get the prayer chain. Anybody else see late last night, Rick Hine's mom was taken to St. Rita's? And I instantly began texting Rick. And I told him, I said, the worst part is waiting. And he texted back and said, yeah. And I said, but the worser part is it's 10:30 at night. and Starbucks is closed. We could connect instantly, but I could intercede for Rick and for Lisa and for the kids and his mom and dad. I could pray for them. It's not for me, it's for them. I'm interceding for them. But I'm telling you right now, the last category that Paul tells us to pray for and through is the one that we rarely do. Thanksgiving. Seriously, in your prayers, are you so thankful for the car you have? For the family that you have? For the job that you have? For the government that we have? Woo! It's one of the reasons that I love but hate Facebook. All these dopey things that we post. And I'm like, ugh! Are we praying in such a way that we're interceding on behalf of someone and being thankful, appreciative for what we have? Because Paul says you can go from selfish to suddenly other-focused, and that's godly. God does things on our behalf. He thinks of us all the time, and we should do that with loving our neighbor. And that's what the next part is. Look at verses 3 through 6. It's good. This is good, Paul says, and pleases God our Savior. Now, I highlighted this next phrase. You might want to circle it, underline it, bold it, whatever. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Verse 4, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. He begins preaching here. There is one God, one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. Look at verse 4. What's so good about praying for others? They might come to know God for the first time. Praying for others allows Jesus to mediate on our behalf. Hey, God, I need you to know, Dave was just praying for this in my name. It's a good thing who he's praying for. And Jesus mediates for us. People need to be saved, and we should be praying for them. Because when we begin praying for other people, not against other people, but praying for other people, it may never change them. Well, that's annoying. But it will change us. And that's amazing. I know it sounds silly, guys, but I'm telling you, there have been people in my life that I have prayed against. And then God goes, wake up. And I'm like, oh, okay. God, I hope they have a great day. I hope that I know it sounds silly. I hope they have a great day. I hope things go right for them today. I hope they're able to see you in a special way. And it begins changing me and my attitudes and my opinions, and that's good. If you think, according to these verses, it's all about you and how you feel about the church, about the president, about our government, if you think it's all about you and what your opinion is, you need to realize that it is all about you and how you feel about Jesus. That's what these verses tell us. It's not about your opinion of what's going on and what you think it should be. It's about us praying so that God can intercede in the way that he needs to. And how you pray for the president and those in authority over us proves it. Now there's some good news. Look at verse 7. Here's the good news of all of this. When we begin to pray like this. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. Because remember, there were people that said, oh, Paul's not an apostle. And he's like, guys, seriously, I am. And a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Paul's job was to preach the good news to people who did not know him, people that did not belong to him, people that had no concept whatsoever of who Jesus is. he knew the value of praying for them first. Are we a people of prayer? Are we a church of prayer in such a way that it makes people go, woo, them some godly people? Are we sharing the good news with people that don't know him? And when we do, are they meeting a people full of godliness? Or are they meeting people that have shipwrecked their faith? If you have invited people to church and they have told you no repeatedly, what if it has nothing to do with the church or God or Jesus, but it has to do with the fact of who you are and what you have shown them is a godly person? That's the thing that bugs me, and that's what we've got to evaluate. Are we people that are full of godliness as we share the truth, or are we people that have shipwrecked our faith and ruined it for everyone? Let's stand together, and instead of singing a closing song, let's just pray together. Let's stand, please. Let's wrap this up. Father, we love you. I pray for the people that are here this morning. I love their faith. I love interacting with everybody. I love the fact that we have these awesome family get-togethers on Sunday morning. That's the easy part. The hard part's coming, because we're going to leave and we're going to go back to life as usual. Do people see in us godliness? God, I know this church, and I know that we want to be people that are godly, but we don't even know what that means. God, make us more like you by pointing out in our lives where we need to be more like you. Allow us, before we leave this place, to go to someone and say, I need help, so that we can tackle it together as a family. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.